And we're going to be in Job chapter 2, verse 6. We talked about Job just briefly this morning in Sunday school. And we'll talk briefly about him tonight. Won't get much into him tonight, but we will start that. So once you find your place there, go ahead and stand if you are able. Job chapter 2. And Job comes right before Psalms. So if you read Psalms this morning, just back up one book, Job chapter 2 and verse number 6. If we know anything about Job, what do we know about Job? What do we know about Job? Trusting in God, hardships. Most folks know Job for his patience and hardships. Amen. Patience and hardships. We're going to read verse number 2. Getting back to our study that we started some time ago, dealing with Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. And let me grab my note here. And if you are there, say amen. Amen. And if you are not, say oh me. Oh me, amen. All right, so we got one. All right. So Job chapter 2 and verse number 6. And let's read verse number 6 together. Here we go. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Isn't that good to know that even though we may be in Satan's clutches, that God still has jurisdiction over him and he can only do what God allows him to do. Amen. Father, bless now the time that we have, and I pray that you would make this time fruitful for us as we look at Satan's strategy, as we look to detect his tactics and then defeat him and defend against him. Lord, help us to recognize what he does and, Lord, how he does it, and then help us to, Lord, just get a hold to the victory that we already have in Christ Jesus. We thank you and love you for what you've done, what you've given to us. Lord, bless down a marvelous way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. Detecting and defeating him. Amen. Let me give you some backdrop here. Last series of messages, when we're talking about detecting and defeating Satan, we saw him as a deceiver, right? And if Satan can deceive you, he's got half the battle won. Amen. Now, the victory is won by Christ, so we're saved, so we don't have to worry about that. But if he can deceive you, he can cause you to do certain things that you normally wouldn't do just because of deception. Anybody ever bought a lemon for a car and it looked good and you drove it off the lot and everything that could go wrong went wrong? Amen. Or maybe you bought something that you thought was going to work, and as soon as you bought it home, it didn't work the way you thought it was going to work. Amen. That means somebody deceived you. Amen. Or if you bought a watch or this or the other. Amen. I just got me a, I had to get a new phone because my other one wasn't compatible with a lot of the devices that we use now. And when I got it, I said, well, I need to get me an OtterBox. So I went on, where are we going? We want to get OtterBox. Amazon. And I went on there and they said OtterBox. And my wife was, she said, you can get this one over here. And it was like $27. And with tax, it was going to be like $30. I said, I can get one on Amazon cheaper. And they said, you want for $9. I said, ha, there it is. Well, it's an OtterBox, all right. But it's not the kind I was looking for. Amen. What happened? I got deceived by the picture. And I thought, wow, I saved all this money. I saved on safety as well. If I drop it, it's still going to break. Amen. It says OtterBox, but it's not like the OtterBox that I had. The OtterBox that I had had a back and had a face and it had rubber to enclose it all. This one only had plastic to uncover it and it had no face. Now I understand why it was only $9. But I thought I was getting over. I'm like, hey, there we go. I got one. Amen. And so now I've got to be careful if I drop my phone. Whereas before I could drop that thing, it can bounce all over the place. I could care less. Amen. Because I knew it was protected. Now I can't do that. I've got to be careful. So you can be deceived. But if Satan can't deceive you, you know what he can do? He can just flat destroy you. He can just flat destroy you. Let me show you several verses here dealing with Satan and some titles that he has. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back to Job. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, we've heard this verse before, we've been here before, and we know the verse. First Peter chapter 5. And in First Peter chapter 5, of course, we know verse number 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. We can cast all of our cares on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cares for us, and that's great. But then verse 8, Peter follows back and says this, be sober or be serious-minded, be vigilant, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. Devour is almost like destroy. He said he's walking about. He's seeking targets. Who do you think that he's going to get? The weakest one. Or anyone that he can get that's close by. Joshua loves those nature channels, and all the time, the stray one is the one that normally gets got. The stray one is the one that gets captured and surrounded by all the lions. The rest of the herd has gone away, and they surround that one, and they get him. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Show you another verse here. Go over to chapter 22 of Luke. Luke 22. And in Luke chapter 22, this is when Peter got a little bit too big for his britches, and Jesus warns him. And he says something. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And notice what it says here. The Lord said to Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Pastor and Mrs. White are from the country, so they know about the old-fashioned sifters. Remember those sifters, Mrs. White? They put that flour in there, and they would turn that handle, and it would mix the flour up, and the flour would drop down. I'm sure Mrs. Dawson's mom probably had one. Janet, you remember that back in the days, the old-fashioned sifter? It was to get that stuff nice and fluffy, get all the stuff out, and then all the garbage is left in the tray there, but it's nice and fluffy when it comes out of the sifter. One thing that God does not need is fluffy Christians. We need to be solid. We don't need any fluff, amen? We need to be compact. We need to be solid. And unified. So he said, Satan wants to sift you as weak. Remember the text verse that we read? Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. What does it say here? Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have what? Prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, this is Peter, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both in the prison and to death. Anybody remember how that kind of turned out? Didn't turn out too good, did it? Prison and death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Well, we know the rest of the story. Amen. Revelations 9 and verse 11, let's look at it again. What are we doing? Looking at Satan as a devourer and a destroyer. Revelations chapter number 9 and verse number 11. Verse 9 says, and they had a king over them. This is some disturbances going on during the tribulation time, and these are the scorpions and all these creatures that are coming up. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Who's got a study Bible? What does it say that Abaddon means? Anybody got a study Bible that gives a definition of Abaddon? Revelations 9, verse 11. Anybody got a definition for Abaddon?
Yes.
What does yours say, honey?
Destruction. Destruction.
So the Hebrew tongue is destruction or Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Anybody got a word for Apollyon? What is that? A destroyer. So we've got destruction and a destroyer. So what do you think Satan wants to do to you and I as Christians? He has no use for us at all. We represent opposition. We represent those that want to take from his kingdom and those that would worship him. Remember, at the end of the day, this is what Satan wants. He wants your worship. And he doesn't care how he gets it. What did he say? I will be like the Most High. I'm going to set up my congregation in the sides of the mountain. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. What did he tell Jesus? I'll give you all this if you just bow down and worship me. At the end of the day, that's what he wants. He wants to be like God. That's why he's called the God of this world. And if you're not willing to worship him, he's going to deceive you. And that's what we saw in the first series. But if he can't deceive you, he says, I'll just flat out and destroy you because you can't do anything without your body. Amen. I'll destroy you. So this series, we're going to see Satan as not the deceiver, but as the destroyer. So continuing with our study, Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. We've seen Satan as a deceiver. We saw he targets our mind. His tactics are lies. His purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will. And our purpose is the word of God. Now, what do we already know about who Satan is? We know he's a destroyer. We know he's a devourer. We know he's a deceiver, but what else do we know about Satan? What is he? Joshua? He is a deceiver, but what else do we know about him? Serpent, dragon, what else is he? He's a liar, that's how he deceives us. What else? Fallen angel, amen. What else is he? He's a thief. Amen. What else we know about Satan? Because all these things play into his deception. And if you don't want to get involved in the deception, think about it during the tribulation. What is going to mark most Christians during the tribulation time? What's going to mark them? No. What's going to happen to most of the Christians during the tribulation time? They're going to die. You're going to either play my game, the Antichrist game, or I will destroy you. I will kill you. That's what's going to mark most Christians. So if you name the name of Christ, you think it's bad now? You think we're suffering now at our jobs and in our schools and in the community? You think we're suffering now standing for against homosexuality and standing against all the gay rights movement and the LGBTYXMOUSE? And you think we're suffering now? You wait till tribulation time. And if you stand for God, it's going to be legal to even have a Bible. So many things mark who he is. Go back to Job chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm going to ask you some questions here in Job chapter 2, verse 6. Of course, chapter 1, Job has lost his family. He's lost his wealth. He's lost all of his cattle. He's lost everything that he had. His children are gone. And now Satan comes back and says, if you put your hands on him or let me touch him, he will curse you to your face. And so, verse number five, but put forth thine hand, this is Satan, now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So let's look at Satan then, not as a deceiver this time, but as a destroyer or a devourer. And would it come to any surprise that unlike deception, he targets your mind, as a destroyer, he targets your body? What gets most of us where we can't come to church? He gets our body. He gets us sick. He gets us crippled or handicapped in some way where we can't be here. Because he knows you only have one body. Satan targets our body. Go up to verse number 7. And notice what happens after the devil gets his hands on Satan. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore, what? Boils. Anybody ever had a boil? Remember a kid in grade school had a boil. I didn't even know what a boil was. But he said, I got boils. And it was painful. The definition for boil means to burn, an inflammation, an inflammatory sore, an ulcer. That's a boil. So Job then is smitten with sore boils. Now, it's bad enough just to have a boil, but then to have a sore boil. So it's inflamed already. It's already burning. It's already ulcerated. It's bad enough, but then it's sore. And then it says, from the sole of his foot, so that's down here. Y'all know what the sole is, right? To the crown. Where's the crown? Can you imagine being totally covered with boils? From the bottom, I'm not talking about the top of your foot, the bottom of your foot to the top of your head, when everything is sore. Now, folks, most of us, if you got sore feet, what do? You prop them up, right? But if you got boils here and boils on your bump, can you really sit on your bump? Can you really stand up? Can you really lay down? Because I got boils on this side. Can I lay on this side? Can I put my head on the pillow? I got boils here. Can you imagine Job's predicament? We talked about this in Sunday school as well. This came at the height of his wealth and everything that he had. The Bible said he was amongst one of the top men of the East in God's eyes and man's. And all of a sudden, like that, from the bottom of his foot to the top. What am I saying? Satan's target is our body. Notice verse number 8. And he took him a potsherd. Anybody know what a potsherd is? Exactly. A piece of pottery. So if you got your a vase up there made out of pottery, it's broken, and you take it and you use it like a scraper. Can you imagine taking a piece of pottery that's broken and starting to scrape sore boils that are already inflamed? He took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. He is in bad shape. Now, this is a man that had it all going on. We all like say, well, I got the patience of Job. Well, they got the patience of Job. I don't think anybody has the patience of Job. When you talk about this from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Now, mind you, this is all to show Satan that Job couldn't be bought. I don't know about you. Do you want to be in that chess game? I say, if we're dealing with preachers, you know, Pastor White is just as good a preacher as I am. So, you know, if we got to have this chess game, then, you know, I vote for Pastor White. I'm sure Pastor White say, well, you know, preacher is the head preacher. So we got to have a preacher. Then I vote for Pastor Dawson. And then we go over there. Well, I vote for Brother Baldwin. Me and Brother White both agree. Hey, Brother Baldwin, you should have this. We'd all vote for someone else. Job didn't vote for this. God put him up for this and said, hath thou considered my servant Job? What am I saying here? Satan's target now, if he can't deceive us, is to destroy us. And there are two extremes that Satan likes to exploit. And all of us fall in one or the other. Say, preacher, what's the first category? Uh-oh, here we go. The first extreme that Satan likes to exploit, he wants us to baby our body. When I say baby our body, what comes to mind when you think of babying our bodies? Joshua? Taking too much care of the hair. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Amen. If you're going to baby the body, what comes to mind when I say babying the body? Satan wants to baby the body. And I'll give you the definition of baby once we get done. Anybody else? If Satan wants me to baby my body, what does he want me to do? How many of you ever had one of those really, really close encounters, but you really didn't get hurt? You go, oh, and you really didn't get hurt at all. That's babying the body. Now, you hit your little toe, there is no babying in that. You hurt. You're out. You're laid out if you hit your little toe. Big toe can handle it. Little toe, he can't handle it. The definition of babying is this: to pamper or be overprotective of or to indulge with every attention, comfort, and spoil. You see these people within the spas with the little cucumbers on their eyes and all that. Now, I'm not against that. So if you do that, I'm not against that. But, the picture comes to my mind, these guys in there, and they got the guy patting them on the back, you know, and they got the hot towels on their head, you know, somebody's manicuring their toes and they got their fingers out, somebody doing their nails. They're like, oh, this is the life. You know, they're doing their bathing, their body. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You can do that. But what Satan wants you to do is when he comes and he puts a hit on you, his job is to destroy you or to knock you out. He don't want you to get up and serve God anymore. He don't want you to defend anything. Babying our body is his first exploitation. Now, to be fair, some have a higher tolerance level of pain to sicknesses than others. Now, how many of y'all have a high tolerance for pain? I've been in pain so long, I don't even know what it feels like anymore. Amen. I've got to be in some real tough pain. My wife, you say, how's your headache? Yeah, it's there. Amen. Had them so long, it's like Pastor Nelson, you say, how's your headache today? Well, it's there. Now you reminded me about it. Now I know it's there. Amen. And so with my back issues, I've had these headaches since forever, since I hurt my back. And I wake up with them and I go to bed with them. Sometimes they're worse. Sometimes they're not as bad. And anytime somebody reminds me, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I do have a headache. Amen. My mom got scared. She said, now, you know, your uncle died of aneurysm and your dad had one. So you need to get checked frequently and make sure they scan your head, make sure you don't have one. And so I do make sure I get my head scanned. But mine are from my back and all that stuff. Amen. And so to be fair, some have a higher pain threshold than others. Our job is to pray for each other. Can you really know how bad someone hurts? So it's unfair for us to judge, isn't it? Can you see a backache? Sometimes I say I have spasms. Can you see a spasm? My wife can see them because I'll lift up my shirt and my body is contorted like that. The muscles in my body contract so bad that it pulls my body out of alignment. And so I'm walking around kind of sideways like this. I got to get to the couch. I got to lay down. Oh man, this is hurting. And I told my wife the other day, I had one last week and she looks, she's like, ooh. We think about Job. I remember that one time preacher, I had to go up to Phoenix. I was in so much pain from that one spasm I had. And my whole torso was shifted over like that. And I preached long enough just so I can get up to Phoenix and get taken care of. But you can't see pain oftentimes. And even if someone has something, do you really know how much it hurts them? You really don't. You know what our job is when Satan comes and tries to exploit us to get us to baby our body? We've got to pray for each other because we really don't know if somebody can be here or if they can't be here. We can surmise, well, I had headaches before too, and my head never hurt that bad. Well, you know, Pastor Bennett, you said if I had a head look like yours, I'd be surprised if it didn't hurt. Amen. You can never really tell how much pain somebody really is in. You really can't. And so it's unfair for us to say, well, you can do this. You can go soul winning. You can be here. You can. We really don't know. So when it comes down to Satan's first extreme to baby our bodies, it's unfair for us to judge. I'll give you a couple of verses here to look at. Notice verse John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse number 9. John 17. This is Jesus Christ praying for you and I. John 17. Now, again, can some people really make it? Yes. Do we really know? No. So what's our goal when Satan wants to exploit us with one extreme to baby our body? We need to pray for each other. Notice John chapter 17, notice verse number 9. This is Jesus Christ praying for you and I. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine and all are mine and are thine and thine are mine and I am glorified in them. And so in this priestly prayer, Jesus actually prays for you and I. And he says, hey, pray for them. I pray for them. And by the way, folks, we should pray for each other as well. If Jesus knows that you and I need prayer because the devourer is there, the destroyer is there, he wants to exploit you and I, he wants us to baby our bodies, then we've got to pray for each other. Because again, we don't know how bad someone really is hurting. Notice Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Now, I know if you're anything like me, I have judged people before and said, they know they can be in church tonight. They're not hurting that bad. I saw them at the store over there wheeling it like it was nobody's business. Now all of a sudden it's church time, they're sick. Now they might be. They might be. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Notice what Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what? Pray for you. And what? And to desire that ye might be what? Filled with what? The knowledge of what? His will, what? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've got to pray for them that they come to the fact that they know Satan's trying to exploit them and getting the baby their bodies, because it's not our decision. Ultimately, it's theirs, because it's their body that God gave them. And folks, if you're anything like me, I know the more folks that hear my preaching, that come and support the things of God, the merrier for me. But at the same time, Satan may try to destroy someone and try to devour them. And our job then is to pray for them, not to accuse them, although we may feel that they're faking. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, notice what Paul says in his finality here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. In verse number 1, Paul says, finally, brethren, what? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. How many of y'all think that Paul ministered with pain? So much so that he sought the Lord thrice to have his thorn in the flesh removed. And guess what the Lord said? Grace is sufficient. When Satan shows up and he wants to exploit you and I, and he wants us to baby our bodies, our job then is to pray for each other that they will get the victory over that if they're babying their bodies. Because again, we're not inside their bodies and we don't know. And it's unfair for us to judge. The only one that might have a clue, Takesha's in the medical field. So she may have a, well, what do you got here? I got this, not that. Well, that shouldn't cause that kind of pain right there. No, it's over here on this side. Well, it shouldn't cause that pain over there. Now, if it caused it anywhere, it should be right here. I don't have any pain there. You know, I had to move stuff for medical people. Amen. My mother was a nurse, so I tried to pull it over. Where's it hurt at? Right here. It shouldn't hurt there. I meant over here. It shouldn't hurt there either. I mean, it was down here, I think. I forgot where. But it hurts, I know. I can't go to school today. It hurts my brain just to think about school. Amen. Hey, I tried everything I could to get out of school. My mom said it ain't going to happen. Amen. On the contrary, a couple of verses here and then we're going to quit. Amen. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Romans 14 and 13. Romans 14 and verse number 13. What is our goal when Satan shows up and tries to get us to baby our body because he wants to exploit our body? Let's look at Romans 14 and verse 13. Notice what he says down there. Let us not therefore what? Judge one another. How long? Anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Paul said, you know what? Don't judge. He said, what you need to do is remove any excuses from your own personal life that will cause somebody else to stumble. Don't worry about what they're doing. Worry about what you're doing and make sure that what you're doing isn't a stumbling block to them. You could be the reason why they're sick. Amen. And so he says we need to watch ourselves and not judge one another. And then the final verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, we were just there. We should have read it when we were there the first time. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. We need to pray for one another. But then Paul says, don't judge one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and do what? Edify one another. What does the word edify mean? Build up, exhort, encourage. It's easy when Satan wants to exploit someone to baby their body because of something that they have in a sickness or an illness. And it may not be as bad as we think, but we've got to pray for them and not judge them, but edify them and encourage them that they will want to get up. We can discourage and make them want to stay down. Amen. I've been guilty of that before. I called myself going to encourage someone and edify them, and they were worse off after I left. And the Bible says here that we need to make sure we comfort ourselves together and edify one another, help build them up, even as also ye do. And I like the way Hebrews says it, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. That's what we should be doing. What does Satan want to do as a destroyer? One of the first things he wants to do is target our body. And there's two extremes. The first one is to baby our body. The next one we'll see next week. If we're not going to baby our body, guess what the opposite of that is? Kill our bodies, beat our bodies. We'll use our bodies up until we've got nothing left. And God doesn't want that either. There is a middle road of balance that God wants all of us to exercise discernment on. He didn't want us to baby it, but he didn't want us to beat it down and kill it either. We've got to be right down the middle. How many of y'all ever seen those tightrope walkers? And they walk and what do they do? Whoa! What are they doing? They're adjusting. And sometimes you and I, we have to adjust. Maybe sometimes I need to baby my body. Then maybe sometimes, maybe I just have to buffet it and just keep on going. Maybe sometimes I got to, as Mrs. White says, I got to suck it up sometimes and just keep on going sometimes. And other times I can't suck it up. Why? I need my body and it's the only one that I have. Folks, there is a middle road there that God wants us to go, and it's called balance. And Satan doesn't want balance. He wants either baby it and destroy it and get out of the battle, or beat it and destroy it and get out of the battle. Don't exercise discernment. Don't do that, because then my work is not effective. Job finds himself in a situation where the destroyer is after him. And unlike what Satan thought, Job didn't quit, didn't give up. And at the end, he got everything restored, including his health. And his body was not destroyed. Even though for a time, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, it was terrible, he was restored. Our job is to pray as Satan comes to destroy this week. Say, okay, Lord, give me balance. Give me discernment. I don't want to baby my body, but at the same time, I don't want to beat my body. Give me that middle road discernment. We'll look at some of those verses next week, because, folks, there is a balance. There is a time to rest. There is a time to go the extra mile. Paul knew both, and we've got to have that discernment as well. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Job's example. We know the destroyer is there. He wants to defeat us. Lord, he wants us to baby our bodies. And if he can't win there, he wants us to beat our bodies to death. Lord, we've got to have that balance, that discernment to know. Lord, we can't judge one another because we don't know what each other is capable of and how much pain someone is in. But Lord, we can pray one for another. And Lord, we can be careful not to judge one.